Hey, y'all, if you enjoy watching your podcast, which seems kind of weird, watching your podcast, but some people really enjoy that. So we have a YouTube channel. You can find it at Heather Parady, P-A-R-A-D-Y. It's also linked up in the show notes. You can hit subscribe. And several of these interviews are actually in person, so you can watch that. Again, that is at Heather Parady on YouTube.
All right, I'm going to confess something to you. I like to go around saying that I want an adventurous, creative life, but here's the deal. Your girl loves some schedules. I got spreadsheets for everything, and some say I'm type A. And I like that about myself, but there is a level where I know I need to push myself outside of my own comfort zone more often so I can create more meaningful, honest work. Whew, I'm already sweating. Today, I connected with Jay Vladimir, who is an innovative artist who blends editorial fashion photography with pop art. And I'm going to tell you, this man is the complete opposite of your girl, which is exactly why I needed to talk to him. In this conversation, you're going to hear how Jay burned the ships in his own personal life to become a full-time artist, why he advocates for betting on yourself, and he challenges me to switch up my routine quite a bit and live life a little more on the edge.
Because when you have a child, a little child, it's the most flexible they'll ever be in life. And they will never question when their arm is behind their leg and their leg is flipped over or they fall, they go like a rubber band and they'll just get right back up. You do that when you're in your 40s and 50s, you're breaking things. You know what I mean? Your mind and your heart has to be that childlike faith. It has to be flexible.
All right, y'all, we got Jay Vladimir on the show with us today, who is a brilliant artist, photographer, who has an unconventional story. This wasn't in the cards for him all along. He didn't wake up. Tell me if I'm off on this, Jay, but as a little boy, I'm going to be a photographer one day. This is going to be my life's passion. You had some other goals, some other ambitions, but thank God that the road is curvy and leads us where we need to go, because you've landed somewhere really cool. I got a freaking ton of questions for you, dude, in a short amount of time, but it's just an honor to have you on the show. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Thank you, and an honor for me to be on your show. I'm excited.
I'll tell you what. All right, so you wanted to be a model back in the day. Let's start there. Tell me all the things.
Oh, man. So, okay, my family's like down South Florida. I'm in Orlando, Florida. But, you know, they're very old school, just work. You get, you know, you go to school, you know, open a business, you just make that, how we call it, that cheddar, you know, make that money, live a life,
right? Your family literally say cheddar.
Well, I say,
I was like, that's badass. Comparison.
Yeah, I know. They say other creative words in that. I'm paraphrasing. but anyways, so my pops, he works in underground development, and he works in like sprinklers and like pipelines, and like he does all kinds of stuff, crazy. So I did a couple of like summer jobs for him and stuff, and I was good at it. But I always say to people, and especially for me, is that somehow, you know, I don't believe in luck. I just believe in opportunities and focusing on that direction, and luck happens because you're always trying. Nope, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. That creates it. So for a long time, I was always trying to find that thing, that little empty spot. Like, what am I really good at? You know what I mean? And so even doing all the, you know, these summers, you know, after high school, just kind of like, you know, doing work in the fields or whatever it is, I realized that there's this thing that I need to do. And I was very unique. I would always wear the weirdest clothes. I had the weirdest haircuts. I loved getting art issues from Vogue, but I was just your normal dude. But I was so intrigued in fashion and all those little things. So one day I just come up to my pops and I'm like, listen, I have an idea. I'm just gonna, you know, go to New York, just try it out. I had a guitar, a bag. I wanted to be a model, but I kind of didn't like let them know I want to be a model. Like almost like, you know, I gotta keep the, you know, I'm just gonna go to New York for, you know, no reason. And so I just told all my friends that I'm heading out to New York right after school. It's just like right after high school, it's just like kind of head out there. So in 2001, I grabbed my bag, went to Manhattan, and like just started living a life. Oh my goodness. I was probably like 2021, like 19 or 20. Yeah, 19. Yeah, 20. Yeah,
2021?
2001.
Oh, I was about to pass out. I'm like, oh my God, you're a baby.
No, I am.
So
I'm
much on, in 2 years.
No, I am 41. So, you know, so it was like, right, it was like the year before September 11th. So it was like the year before prior, almost like in that time frame. Oh. So, and I lived in Harlem. to top it off. Like I was like, this energy was in Harlem. Back then, it was like little by little they were doing, you know, everything was changing, gentrifying neighborhoods. So I came in that time frame where the way I am was like me pushing that envelope of like, who's this dude right here? You know what I mean? Because I had some weird styles and everything. But I went out there, and the thing is that I wanted to be a model, but at that time frame too, I wasn't getting any kind of really work because back then it was like the Hollister, the Abercrombie, the surfer look. You know, it wasn't like this. Now this is popular. Look, now you know you put on like a hat and you like look to the side with a suit and you're like, I'm locked in. Like if I'm 2 decades too late. You know what I mean? I would have been perfect now. But so I did that, and it didn't work out for me. But the one thing I realized is that I knew that at least I'm moving forward in that aspect. You know what I mean? Because the thing is what happens is that I guess perception becomes a reality. And most of us, our perception is dictated by people.
Preach.
Do
Yes.
you know what I mean? Like if someone says you're
Yes.
this, that perception becomes you. Do you know? Like I think it was like I read like Tony Robbins has said some study that he said that if like a witch doctor tells you you're gonna have a heart attack, you would really convince your body that you would get a heart attack and you would die.
Yeah.
Because you know what I mean? So it's one of those things where it's like my perception, I guess it was a flaw, but at the same time it helped. I would always ignore people's views and perception of me. Like I wouldn't pay attention. You know, I don't know if it was an ego thing. I don't know if it just didn't care. But every time people told me you need to be this, I would literally just didn't care. I just didn't like I knew where I wanted to be, but I knew what I wanted in life, but I didn't know what that was. But I knew that it was something bigger than this, bigger than where I was at, bigger than, you know, working for my pop's company or bigger, you know, living in a little, you know, country, you know, hometown. It was more than that. So one day, you know, I talked to Nage and I was like, what can I do to stay in the industry? Because I know it's not working. I got to pay. I mean, I got bills to pay. I got things to do, everything. He said, just take photos of some models. I mean, $150, $100, like nothing, nothing simple, even free ones. So I took a photo of this guy with, I think I have to find the photo if I could find it. This guy was wearing like this kind of a button shirt with a green tie beside a tree. I took the photo with this cheap Sony. Back then there was this Sony, like $200 cameras that had like a digital screen behind it. You know what I mean? Like really cheap, really like you can get it anywhere, like Best Buy. So I just took the shot, no lighting, just kind of like it was a golden hour. So it was like the sun was, you know, crisp, you know, nice and warm. And I just took the shot. Gold money. I'm talking with no skill set whatsoever. The dude went like this and he looks at me and goes, dude, this is the best photo I've ever seen. You know, this is the best photo everyone has ever taken. How long have you been doing this? Oh, I didn't say how long, but you know, I wanted to. But I knew that that right there, destiny unfolded itself. And from there on, the sky was the limit. Do you know what I mean? Like, seriously. Like, it just opened campaigns. It opened networking with clients that I wouldn't ever connect with. Fragrance ads. I mean, you name it, models, agencies. And then from there, I did this for I've been doing this for 2 decades and never looked back. It just keeps growing. Especially now when you see my work, now it just keeps on developing more and more. It's because the thing is that once that crossroad happens, once like the intersection of like destiny and yourself meet, there's those options where it's that cheesy phrase we always hear. It's like opportunity knocks once, blah, blah, blah. You know, you always hear it. But the reality is the reason why you hear it, because it's true. Everyone can honestly relate and they've hit that crossroad. The problem is have you said yes to the status quo? Or have you let the perception of people be like, now that's not for me. I'm getting too old. I got kids. I got blah,
Preach.
blah, blah. You know what I mean? And what happens is that's why when you say that cheesy phrase, it's like opportunity knocks once because we've all been there. Those crossroads always happen. We just decide what you want. What do you want out of that conversation, you know, with
Totally.
yourself?
All right. I have the war of art here, Stephen Pressfield, but he wrote another book called Put Your Ass Where Your Heart Wants to Be. And
I love it.
it's this idea that although you can work from anywhere, you need to sometimes physically move to the epicenter of wherever your dream's at, because being in the physical space with people who are doing stuff is so important. And I'm really glad you highlighted that, because with our access to everything, it's sexy and awesome. And really, it's true that we can build things from literally Podunk, Arkansas, if we wanted to. And I can say that because I'm from Arkansas.
Nice.
But energetically, there is something with shifting your perception, like you said, because you're reality, your norm changes. Now that you hang out with people who are doing what you want to do, who now it's not a big deal to go do X, Y, Z, that's now normal for you versus maybe staying home in Florida in your comfort zone and just connecting with these people online. Before we kind of move forward with where you took your career and some of the lessons learned with that, I want to look back again, back to Florida. I was just on a call a moment ago and somebody confided in me, and I've felt the same way before, that sometimes when you have that spark of like, I want something different, there's also a level of guilt sometimes that can come, or whether it's self-imposed, or people are like, well, what's wrong with this? You know, Jay, like, what's wrong with their, you know, life here and stuff like that. I mean, how do you kind of wrestle with, or did you at all, wanting something more and making changes because you're sacrificing relationships back home and they're not going to see you as much? Maybe people don't understand. Like, how do you balance, I guess, not feeling guilty for wanting to be ambitious and pursuing it without reserve?
That's a good question. I think, and this is the part, I guess this, because I just finished hanging out with Kevin Harrington from Shark Tank. I did a shoot for a magazine with him, and he has this, if you ever hang around with, and I know you do, it's like, you have to be, I guess, and this sounds so bad, you have to be selfish in the same aspect of also creating your destiny. As much as you want to help people, you have to be almost a wolf in a way. Do you know what I mean? And a mentor told me this a long time ago, if you don't create what you're supposed to do, then what you're doing is destroying the person that needs to see that for them to create. Like, you're holding them back. And there was such a guilt in that. If I don't come out with that record hit or that song, then what I'm doing is I'm destroying the inspiration for the next Lady Gaga, or the inspiration for the next Michael Jackson. And for me, it was like with photography, it's like, if I don't do what is divine ability of just natural gift, if I don't create a storytelling and editorial style photography that I do, what's going to happen is an 8-year-old kid could be the next Michelangelo, but he only needs is that one photo, that one inspiration that goes, wow, the storytelling here is amazing. I think I'm going to draw this, you know? And I think you have to, in a way, be selfish. You have to be selfish for what you want. You look at, like, and I love using Michael Jordan because he's like the epicenter of like the practical like example of it. It's like, this dude he was okay in college, but like, he knew he had to be selfish, take it to the next level and become this guy that just was a machine. And some people hated him because he was just a workaholic. And, you know, he wanted the best, or like Tom Brady, same thing. Like, they say that when this guy got upset, it's because he wanted perfection. It's because they get it. You have to be a little bit selfish, a little bit of that wolf under sheep's clothing. Because if you don't do it, you know, that saying, like, no one's going to eat. You know, if you're not working out there, no one's going to eat it. And I mean that like in a just internal sense. So I feel like that's the best way to describe it. And I know it sounds so bad, but you can't be a people pleaser when you're creating foundational things. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. What come up for me when you said that is not a selfish thing. It's broadening our lens of what our impact is and seeing something broader, because I have a very narrow view where I think like, oh, well, these people I've always known, or this one way of life, as opposed to looking at something more from a God's perspective of like how big possibility is and how big the ripple effect actually is and how big your impact can actually be if you let go of your own limited narrative around what that should look like. But anyways, getting philosophical on you, but that's what we do here. I want to move forward.
So
you have this innate talent, this moment of you're like, oh my God, I'm a great photographer. I can do something with this. What you've done in 2 decades is insane as far as building your network and the caliber of people you're able to work with. And I know you've said before, you know, you're not able to disclose everything that you've been able to do, but going from knowing no one in Harlem to working with people that you work with now, what were the first little steps that you took to start building that?
One of the biggest steps is trust. When I started in this business, I treated people just like, hey, we just came out of college, or let's go have a beer after this, you know, here to listen. I know it sounds so cheesy, but like, I see you, you know what I mean? Me and you can hang out. And what happened is there's that trust factor. Cause think about it, me and you in a level where we're now in media. I mean, we're talking to contenders. We're talking to people that are like world shakers, you know what I mean? But the thing is they still want that. Those people still want to connect to the people like, hey, can we just chill? Just, you know, like, just like back in high school. That never goes away. The only difference is now it's harder because what's everybody's motive? You follow me? Like, because now you're in that, now we become this level. Same thing with me. I'm single, but it's hard when you're dating because you're now, I'm just trying to find that person that, you know, you can take the top off the Jeep and just ride to the beach. But now everyone, you know, you don't know motives now because, you know, we're getting to a different level. So I think trust, to me, trust is the biggest thing. I would even do this, and this is the sacrifice people don't do, is if you have, let's say you meet a client, right? A lot of us are so focused on the numbers and the mission and like the execution that you forget, like, why don't you do a pro bono and just spend your time where you're not, it's not about the money. You know, like, for example, I remember a long time ago, I had a project where it was X amount of dollars for one day, right? But for some reason, the creative director didn't give me enough information. So you know what I did personally? I used my own gas, I drove my own vehicle, and I went to go see the guy, like, on my time. Like, this is not even paid. This is not on the bill. So hey, let me hang with you. Before we do this editorial shoot, I just want to hang with you, get to know a little bit. The best shoot ever because I was able to get him in his environment. And that's my sacrifice that I did because I felt like these are people, you know. Sometimes in life, I guess you could say it, you have to sacrifice your own pro bono, your own investing into people, because if you don't, you're going to just, it'll be just a number. Or like how we always hear is like that corporation, they treat us like numbers. Imagine if the CEO of a huge conglomerate company came down to level 4 where you're working in your cubicle and said, hey, you want to grab a sandwich? I guarantee you, you're going to develop. You're going to research, you're going to create the most amazing stuff for that company. And so I felt like if I could do that with my clientele, not only am I going to get like the best photo, the best storytelling, but I'm going to get an ability of like a friendship. And that's what I'm saying. That's why I have people where, like I said, like last week, Kevin Harrington was down in Tampa. We did a shoot. I gave him a big hug. I said, it's been a couple of years. And those photos came out incredible because he was comfortable with me. You know, he knows, hey, man, we're doing this. Making it happen. And he's a Shark Tank, like, you know, other, like, for other people, he's intimidated. For me, he's a friend. Yeah. But that's the biggest advice I could say when you start a career is become like a, you know, a pro bono, spend more time. Even if it's a $200 shoot or $200 project, you're like, man, I'm wasting money doing this. Make a couple phone calls, go hang with them, come 2 or 3 hours early, just out of your time. So regardless if it's only $200, what you're doing is you're creating a global impact in their lives. And you never know. I have friends that when I did their headshots, now they're owning humongous corporations. And guess who they're calling? Guess who they're calling? Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because it's like, we've built that. So that's the best advice I have. So
what would you say, looking back over these 2 decades, is your unique superpower?
My unique superpower would be, I have a very strong belief of like betting on yourself. And I tell this to maybe some people that, you know, are in my circle, is that since day one, I am the guy who says you burn the boats. You burn the boats, you bet on yourself. There is no plan B. And I take that risk. That is the only thing I know for a fact in me that's hardwired. That is like taking the risk and saying, if I was playing blackjack, this is it. This is the number that I have. This is the deck. This is the chance that changes everything. Because I did that. Even if you look at it, when I went to New York, I didn't know anybody out there. I just went out there. I bet it on myself on that aspect. I truly, 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 truly believe in myself. I have to, because there is no plan B. I can't, you know, I can't see myself working, you know, in a bank or a cubicle, you know, it's just not my world. And so what happens is there's something magical that happens in that aspect when you bet on yourself, is like that you make this thing right here, this brain, go on overdrive to be sure that can be possible. Because it is, it's like this, it's like, best way is like an example, like if you wanted to, right, if you needed $20 and you have no money, I guarantee you, by you just connecting and talking to people, you can find a way to get those $20, right? Right. You know you could.
Right.
Now look at those $20 as like your dreams. There is a way. You just, you know, they say that your brain could be your worst enemy or your best friend. And then it is true. You can really fine tune that, but you have to start within your soul. You have to believe in that. You have to believe in that kind of ability. And I do, you know, I bet on myself and I tell people you should do it. Take the risk. If you got to move, if a door closes, then, you know, kick it open, you know, whatever it takes to survive in the aspect of your creative ability. And I say creative, but it could go in any way. It could be a writer. It could be it could be even like, even if you wanted to be a CEO of like a JP Morgan, you know what I mean? If those are your goals, nothing should stop you. That's why I like watching these shows like Succession and all these like billion shows, because in a way, all those the main characters, they do believe in themselves. They do in that aspect. And it's like, it's funny because I think that's the formula. That's the secret weapon that we all have. It's like, if someone told you to do this, could you do it? And if you do, and if you are going to create that, do you have enough confidence, enough ability, enough ability to make that happen?
Recently, what is the most recent example of you betting on yourself?
I live in an area that's very, I would say, it's very expensive. It's like restaurant row. It has a lot of restaurants, just a lot of stuff in the epicenter of the city. It's very expensive. Bills are expensive. Everything is just super. I mean, it's not cheap. But that's me betting myself, because I look at my numbers and I look at what I'm making. I'm thinking, man, I'm like, we're cutting the edge there. But the funny part is that this is again that risk taking. I know I have the ability to make that talent. I lived in New York, and it was the same thing. Living in these areas in New York where you're like, because what happens is, I always say this: for every natural law, there's a spiritual law. Like if you get a piece of if you get like a metal rod or steel rod, and you heat that metal piece and you bend it and you keep heating it, from that whole piece, that's going to be the strongest piece of that. Same thing with the just trials that we'll face. If you heat those things, once you get through that, once you get through those worries or those risks or those things that like those insecurities, once you get through that and it heats to the highest level, and we're talking, you pass through that, that will be the strongest foundational aspect of your life. And you will glide through life way better. Not saying that you figured life out. No, there'll be more, but at least you'll be stronger. So what I did is that probably would be the biggest risk taking would be what I did recently to just be in these areas where I'm like, okay, now I really got to go to that next level. And the funny part is, it's happening, and it is happening, and opportunities are opening up, and I'm able to, go out, and because that nightlife, gets expensive. No, but you're able to go out, and you're
I
able
don't know
to
nothing
enjoy
about
life.
nightlife. I'm in bed by 8:30, dude. Like, no
Oh,
lie.
last time I was in bed at 8 o'clock, probably. Oh man, probably was like 6 years old. Couldn't even tell you. I couldn't even tell you. I couldn't.
That's why I
I
love
don't.
talking to you, because it's so different. Because what I'm hearing you say, and tell me if I'm off on this, is it sounds as though you're seeking out opportunities to be physically, mentally uncomfortable, because you know that through that discomfort is the next level for you.
Yes. For me, in the letters, they would say, like, you heat gold really, 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 like, I'm talking like, I mean, heat gold, and the purities will come to the top. And what the smith would do would scrape that top layer of the gold off, and then you have pure gold, And I think that's, if you're willing to take that risk, if you're willing to bet on yourself on that, you almost say to yourself, like, bring the world, heat me up, like really make me purify me in a way that once I get through all that stuff, man, that's a solid piece of 14K. I mean, you can't beat that. That's a brick of gold, and you will be polished in the most purest possible. And I feel like once you make the decision of betting on yourself, like, I'll take the challenge. Because you hear a lot of people, though, they'll be like, oh man, I'm all about the challenge and everything. But then when pressure starts squeezing you, then you realize, wait a second, I don't know if I don't know if I'm about that. But for me, I had no choice. I had to take it. If it was having a bank account of like $35 negative, at a balance at points in my life, it's okay, because I believed in myself that my next paycheck would be in the thousands. And it's true. Like, it would be. And so if it's uncomfortable, but it's worth it, because now you look, I have magazines that I can look at and be like, this was a tough time, but look at this now. Look at that article. I work for Orlando Style Magazine as an editorial fashion photographer. Those kind of positions don't come around. Do you know what I mean? They just, it's just, it's the coolest thing of that level.
What about, let's dig into the creative element of that, because this is where I'm struggling lately. When you tap into something that you know works creatively, and then pushing yourself and getting in that uncomfortable position where you do a little bit more outside of the box, edgy stuff. I'm curious your perception of that. Let me give you a concrete example. So I've been doing these chair videos for a while now, for about 6 months, and my account was at 5,000 followers in the past 6 months. You know, we're getting close to 50, which isn't a ton, but it's a huge growth in 6 months from just doing one series. So I know this one series works, but creatively, I'm itchy and I want to try new things. And it's interesting when you have a format that you know works. Like, let's say, you know, you've shot this one kind of headshot for a very long time and you know this setup works, you know this camera works, and you have a demand on you to produce the same caliber of work. But as an artist, you want to be able to push that here and there and do something a little dangerous, and maybe it won't work and maybe it will. But when you have the pressure of feeling like, well, I need to recreate success, but still push the boundaries. Do you know what the hell I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Speak to it.
What do you think?
So every artist and every person struggles with this. Your brain at the same time as this amazing thing up here also is a creature of habit as well. Yeah. If you could do the study to your listeners and everybody, if you go to a certain spot on a wall, let's say you poke it every morning at a certain time exactly for 30 days. And then after the 30 days, you're like, I'm done doing it. I guarantee you the day 31, you're going to automatically, without even thinking, you're going to go to that wall and poke it. Because our minds get these habits. And what I do is I do this paradigm shift of just literally forcing yourself to change everything. That's why I started doing art pieces. 2 years ago, I started pivoting because I started seeing the market of AI, and I started seeing how all these AIs were making photos and they look really good. Because I'll tell you this, I haven't told this to a lot. Now that I think about it, I haven't even told this to a podcast. So this is the first, exclusive. Here we go. I want to live forever. I want to live immortal, forever. Like forever. There's only one way to do that, is by the work we create. And so for me, the only way to do that is, what can I have to figure out a way to create stuff that once I'm out, they talk about it. Just like my favorite artist to this day, and he's been gone a long time, is Michelangelo. I got a statue of David's over there. I got a statue of David back. You know, Michelangelo is my favorite. To this day, I can go to any art gallery, and I'm always talking about Michael. He's been around. He's been gone, but he's living forever in my mind. And so what I always tell people is, change everything. So 2 years ago, AI came around of like doing all these photos. So I said, I need to pivot. I need to do like what they call in the industry, pivot. Change the genre of whatever. And so what I did is I took photos, I put them on canvases, I painted over them like a Jackson Pollock style, I added resin, I did all these crazy things, and now I'm selling and creating art pieces that are in galleries now, like pieces that are literally, yeah. And that was just because I had to change the narrative and not get comfortable. If you do something more than three times, if you, like, for example, right now we're talking, right? You have the light at a certain angle for you, right?
Yeah.
Okay, next podcast, force yourself to put that light at some other angle
This light makes my skin look good. Look.
but you get what I'm saying? Automatically, without talking about it, you already shut the idea off, right?
Well, let me push you on that. So I'm in a little Voxer group with some friends who are short form content creators, and we just pick each other apart and like all the micro details of the video.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because we're trying to get better. And so that there's this repetition where you get into the micro gritty of getting really, really good. You can be good at something, but I want to be great.
Yeah. And
greatness means doing 400,000 photos, right? You have to make and make and make and make. So I hear what you're saying about changing things up, but sometimes I don't feel like we do things long enough to get really great at it because we don't have repetition. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, but who's the judge of that? Because if your standard is like, we're not great at it, but you're literally, you know, God's standard was up here. Like, where are you at? You follow me? Like, we sabotage our ability, our human ability. For perfect example, if I asked you 10 years ago, are you better now than 10 years ago?
How much?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Who created that standard? It wasn't you. You just kept elevating it. You follow me? Yeah. So for me, every photo I take is never the same because I force myself to go differently. I have mood boards. I have so many pictures of just examples. I try to push myself. Mm. And that's how you do. Like the athlete that says, hey, I'm going to start shooting with my left hand just so I get better at it. And guess what? When he goes into the paint and he's not able to use his right, he can go to the left and bam, to the next level. But it's like those micro adjustments is good, but like really changing yourself. Here's a good example. When was the last time you took a shower pitch dark? No lights whatsoever. You just jumped in the shower.
Like the other day. I love taking showers in the dark. It's okay, more like, when did you take one in the light? I love it.
Yeah.
I hear you.
You know, like changing little things, you know, and if you ask most people, they say, oh, I never. I've always had the lights on. Exactly. Because or like, when was the last time you were barefooted for a whole day? I'm talking barefooted. You go
I'm
outside. You know? Yeah. So it's just changing little things that for you is uncomfortable, but uncomfortable becomes the ability of growth. That's why when you had to in class and they said, hey, who has the answer? You have to raise your hand. You know, you felt uncomfortable. There's 30 kids in there and you're raising your hand to answer a question. It's uncomfortable. But once you're in it, now you're building something within you. My table has wheels and I purposely bought one so I can move all around the studio. I can move anywhere. I can do work facing the window. I can do work facing the kitchen. And literally I did that on purpose because, again, when I'm editing, I want to change the environment. I'll force myself sometimes to go to a coffee shop and I know there's going to be people there talking to me or asking, what am I doing? Use your whole world as your discovery. Like, oh, I didn't know. How many times do you ever like talk to somebody? You're like, I didn't know that about me. Like when you walk away.
Totally.
Yeah. But it's, you know, you changing it up.
I'm going to push you some more. So here's where I struggle with this. And I love the direction this conversation's going, because I hear you. I envy you. I think that's awesome. And I want to live a more curious. I know you like Chase Jarvis, right? You're a Chase Jarvis dude.
Yes. Yeah. I emailed him when I started my career. I emailed him and he would email back to get a little bit of advice. I would message him before he did his creative live. This was back in the day when he was working in the field. It was crazy.
That's so cool. Yeah. I heard that the other day. I love him. I love him. And just this idea of like, you know, approaching the world from like a curious, childlike, unattached. I mean, there's a very spiritual element to it that I'm very, very drawn to. Here's where I struggle, and I'm curious your perception. Your girl is also ambitious AF, like super ambitious in the sense where I am thinking about growth and productivity constantly. And a huge element of that is a very grown-up approach to your work, because you're thinking about, you know, strategy, you're thinking about repetition with things and being on time and order. And so it's been very interesting for me to almost have two sides to myself, where I have the type A driven Heather who gets up at 4:30, works out, reads, you know, has her spreadsheets. I have one open right now and is thinking about my 10-year plan. And then this curious Heather here, who's actually the artist and the creative. And I want her to take more of a seat, but it's interesting trying to figure out, how do you move the ball forward with kind of your, I'm going to change all the time, I'm going to do things differently, because I feel like growth requires more of the regimen. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And that's the part we were talking about in the beginning. That's the risk taking. That's like, who do you want to be? Do you know what I mean?
I want to be a risk taker.
Yeah. And that being said, it's like, you have to, not only by just choice, but you have to push that creative side to you and infuse it into that spreadsheet. You have to. And whatever that magic formula is, it's like that recipe. It's like, once you find that recipe, you'll create, you know, the 11 seasonings of the chicken. You know, once you have that, it's a multi-billion-dollar industry, you know, but you have to force yourself to take that part of you, what I call the childlike faith, and push it and like freight train that thing into the logic of the structure part of you. Like, there is no status quo. You have to do it, because what happens is that then you become this person that just plays like in the shadows, you know, just constantly your structure, you're constantly doing your thing. It's that repetition. Like, for example, you wake up that early, change it up this time, instead of doing what you normally do, I don't know, go for a walk, go for a run, become an athlete for a day. Do you know what I mean? Like, force, you have to, your brain, the battles we have, no joke, are 11 inches away, or for some people longer, but here and here. This is the battle that we fight. This is it. It's like our passion, our brain, we're constant. The biggest war you will ever fight is right there. And somehow you gotta force yourself to aggressively go into that spot of structure so you can keep growing, so you can keep opening eyes, because I guarantee, you know.
So what would you suggest? Like, how do you, I know you mentioned, you know, you physically change environments. I mean, you're in a kind of naturally change of stimulus environment being a photographer because you're going different locations and all of that. But what are other things that you do that would apply to other creatives?
Destiny always unfolds itself when you go out to search it. It's like they always say a fisherman can always see a fisherman from afar because they're out there fishing. You could see it, you know, right? So what I would recommend, a simple practice, simple practical thing is do 10 things, Google it, that are activities. And here it is. Not for like a date with somebody else, just you. You're going to be that person that's like at cooking class. Yeah, like for yourself. Like you'll be that person that a cooking class, like cutting, you know, sushi or something. And you're like, you know, your husband or your boyfriend, they're not here today. You know, just like do it for you. And then maybe do a network of just, I don't know, of like collages. I don't know, whatever's out in your community, right? But force yourself to do things. Is what happens that you're opening your mind to be like, what happened? Like all we know is what happens if you're like a 5-star Michelin chef and you just don't ever know it because you never done it. You follow me? Like you don't know what you yourself don't know the potential of what is built in you. When they say like childlike faith, you know why that's so important? You know why that phrase is so important? Because when you have a child, a little child, it's the most flexible they'll ever be in life. And they will never question when their arm is behind their leg and their leg is flipped over or they fall. They go like a rubber band and they'll just get right back up. You do that when you're in your 40s and 50s, you're breaking things. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so your mind and your heart has to be that childlike faith. It has to be flexible. And that's why I always like that movie with Jim Carrey, The Yes Man, is because he said yes to everything. Not saying you need to do it. Yes, I'm saying he even if he wasn't, like if someone calls me and says, hey, you want to go play basketball? All our friends got together. It's been a while. It's been a minute. We haven't connected together. I'm going to say yes, because how do you know how optimistic I am? I could be talking to my next client. I could become a chef. Maybe the guy's like, hey, I opened a restaurant. I need a chef. You cook semi-good, maybe. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know, but you have to be that optimistic and you have to. So what I recommend for baby steps, go do activities with yourself that you literally can go on, like, you know, e-invite or something, invite yourself to go that are literally can be free. I mean, even going to when was the last time you went to not a flea market, but those art like things, you know, where they have the tents, you know, you know what I mean? Just by yourself, just go, just walk around, look at the stuff that's for sale. Talk to people.
I had somebody the other day talk to me about the collision of ideas and how, and you do this with your work. And we mentioned it earlier before we hit record, being creative is really finding these connections. And what you're talking about, exposing yourself to new things, gives you more data to be able to connect things together,
yes,
build bridges. I'm curious your process for building bridges. I'm saying this really messy, but when you have all these ideas, and I know you're huge on Pinterest boards and you have all these people you're meeting and there's all this wealth and library and knowledge, like formulating those into creative sparks and ideas, what's your process for that?
As much as I'm in tech, you know, where I'm using cameras and all equipment, I'm very physical as well. I do the Silicon Valley style, like building an app. I got sticky notes on walls. I got structure. I'm going to show you right here. These are my notebooks of ideas for 2024 and 23. Like these are all planners and notebooks. And like, I even do the time box system where it's like you brain dump and then you break it down and you become your own manager. But I'm very physical in that aspect. And I feel like if you don't write things, if I don't write things down, I don't give my brain enough room to get new stuff. So I need to just dump it out, structure it, you know, break it down. That's the part where it's not the creative part. That's like how you were saying that the structure, you know, but you see how I'm blending both worlds. You wouldn't think I have like 300 books of like notes, but as a creative as I am, you have to, you see how I've balanced and integrated my, you know, my world. It's just like some of the creators for like Saint Laurent and all these big fashion houses, they have huge tables where it's just stacks of books, references, notes. They all think the same way. It's just like, you have information, just start just piling it up and you'll realize that one day you'll take that sticky note off the wall and be like, all right, it's time to use this idea, you know, and go for it. That's my process. That's what I do. And it works for me.
It's so fun. I'm a weirdo. I think about energy and spirit and all that, but it's so cool how ideas are like living entities that will just come into fruition a year later.
Yeah. Right, right. Yeah, no, it's true. And like I said, for everybody, to each their own, the processes could be so different. But I know for me, with tech and like with technology and with cameras, you know, I have equipment that is past my pay grade in a way, but that's my method, is that old school, like, hey, let's sticky note it to a wall. I won't get my security deposit back, but it's okay. Yeah. Rip them off, paint comes off, but it doesn't matter. Cause again, me and you are in this world that we are, if we could be the beacon of hope for somebody who's not there, that's awesome. If we can be the person that says, hey, I just need that inspiration to go to that next part of their life, that's even better. You know, regardless, as we have now been like, you know, with responsibility in this level of just media. And it's so cool that, you know, like I said, God has just opened doors to do that, that, you know, yeah. That cheesy Spider-Man quote where it says, with great power comes great responsibility. But the reality is that's such a true statement. Now we have this ability, this platform, this level to help inspire the uninspired, you know, the people that think, you know, the people that think, hey, you know, I work at a gas station, and like, I see like there's more, but they don't know, you know, they don't know where to go. It's like, listen, you can do it. This is very simple, but very complex. Yeah. Very simple, but very complex. It's not hard. You just gotta be a risk taker. You gotta believe in what you do, and you gotta just go out there and just get it.
Well, listen, it's been a freaking joy getting to talk to you. Where do you want to direct our listeners to?
Likewise. It's awesome. I had a blast with you. I don't, you can go on IG, just type in the letter J.Vladimir, VLADIMIR. You'll see most of the work. It's so sad that like Instagram has become like my everything. Like I'll do phone calls. I'll do me. It's funny. It's like, they don't even care about your phone number. I don't even know what cell phone service provider I have. It's like IG.
AT&T today.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's just so, IG is the best. I do travel. So, you know, in Atlanta, New York, any of those areas, if there's any projects that you need, you know, anybody needs any kind of like representation or just, you know, even advice, I'm down for it. Life is short, you know, just gotta embrace it all. So
preach. All that we linked in the show notes. Jay, thanks for your time today. This is awesome.
Awesome.